Thank you very much for the lovely present of a partridge in a pear tree. We're getting the hang of feeding the partridge now, though it was difficult at first to win its confidence. It bit mother rather badly on the hand, but they're good friends now, and we're keeping the pear tree indoors in a bucket. Thank you again. Yours affectionately, Gobne O'Lunacy. Day 2. Dear Nola, I cannot tell you how surprised we were to hear from you so soon again and to receive your lovely present of 2 turtle doves. You really are too kind. At first the partridge was very jealous and suspicious of the doves, and they had a terrible row the night the doves arrived. We had to send for the vet, but the birds are okay again, and the stitches are due to come out in a week or two. The vet's bill was £8, but mother is over her annoyance now, and the doves and the partridge are watching telly from the pear tree as I write. Yours ever, Gobne. Day 3. Dear Nola, we must be foremost in your thoughts. I had only posted my letter when the 3 French hens arrived. There was another sort out between the hens and the doves who sided with the partridge, and the vet had to be sent for again. The mother was raging because the bill was £16 this time, and she's almost cooled down. However, the fact the bird's droppings keep falling on her hair while she's watching telly doesn't help matters. Thanking you for your kindness, Gobne. Day 4. Dear Nola, you mustn't have received my letter when you were sending us 4 calling birds. There was pandemonium in the pear tree again last night, and the vet's bill was £32. The mother is on sedation as I write. I know you meant no harm, and remain your close friend, Gobne. Day 5. Nola, your generosity knows no bounds. 5 gold rings. When the parcel arrived, I was scared stiff it might be more birds, because the smell of the living room is atrocious. However, I don't want to seem ungrateful for the beautiful rings, your affectionate friend, Gobne. Day 6. Nola, what are you trying to do to us? It isn't that we don't appreciate your generosity, but the 6 geese have not alone nearly murdered the calling birds, but they laid eggs on top of the vet's head from the pear tree, and his bill was £68 in cash. My mother is munching 60 grams of Valium a day and talking to herself in the most alarming way. You must keep your feelings for me in check, Gobne. Day 7. Nola, we are not amused by your little joke. 7 swans are swimming is a most romantic idea, but not in the bath of a private house. We cannot use the bathroom now because they've gone completely savage and rush the door every time we try to enter. If things go on this way, the mother and I will smell as bad as the living room carpet. Please lay off. It's not fair. Gobne. Day 8. Nola, who the blazes do you think gave you the right to send 8 hefty maids a milking here to eat us out of house and home? Their cattle are all over the front lawn and have trampled the daylights out of mother's rose beds. The swans invaded the living room in a sneak attack, and the ensuing battle between them and the calling birds, turtle doves, French hens and partridge made the Battle of Somme seem like play school. The mother is on a bottle of whiskey a day as well as 60 grams of Valium. I am very annoyed with you. Gobne. Day 9. Listen, you louser. There's enough pandemonium in this place night and day without 9 drummers drumming, while the 8 flaming maids are milking and beating my poor old alcoholic mother out of her own kitchen and gobbling everything in sight. I'm warning you, you're making an enemy of me. Gobne. Day 10. Listen, manure face. I hope you will be haunted by the strains of 10 pipers which you sent to torment us last night. They were aided in their evil work by those maniac drummers, and it wasn't a pleasant sight to look out the window and see 8 hefty maids a-milking, pogoing around with the ensuing punk rock uproar. My mother has just finished her 3rd bottle of whiskey on top of 124 grams of Valium. You'll get yours, Gobne O'Lunacy. Day 11. You've scandalized my mother, you dirty Jezebel. It wasn't bad enough to have 8 maids a-milking dancing to punk music on the front lawn, but now they've been joined by your friends, the 11 lords a-leaping, and the antics of the whole lot of them will leave the most decadent days of the Roman Empire looking like a Sunday school picnic. I'll get you, you old bag. Day 12. Listen, slurryhead. You have ruined our lives. The 12 maids dancing turned up last night and beat the living daylights out of the 8 maids a-milking because they found them carrying on with the 11 lords a-leaping. while the swans got out of the living room, where they'd been hiding since this big battle, and savaged the daylights out of the lords and all the maids. There were 8 ambulances here last night, and the local civil defence as well. The mother is in a home for the bewildered, and I'm sitting here, up to my neck in birds' droppings, empty whiskey and Valium bottles, birds' blood and feathers, while the flaming cows eat the leaves off the pear tree. I'm a broken man. Gobne, O lunacy. So what's it like in your home? What are the presents like? Are they as good as Frank Kelly's, the ones that he received? When God sent Jesus to earth, he gave us the greatest gift that he could give. From the Bible reading that Rick read out, there are these words mentioned, prophecy from the Old Testament. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Why? Because out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. This Jesus who is born is the shepherd ruler, or a ruler who shepherds. Now friends, I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think of a shepherd ruler or a shepherd. Maybe it's images like those that I saw on my uncle's property that he used to manage many years ago. He was on a sheep station managing the property, and I was there when I was 15 and got involved in a muster, which meant we were riding ag bikes, Yamaha ag bikes. We had a team of Kelpies, and we drove 1,000 head of sheep in front of us amongst a cloud of 1 million tons of red dust. Now, while that's a true image of Australia, it's nothing like Jesus and him being shepherd. In the Bible, the imagery of a shepherd is far richer. It's more like another woman I met called Jean and her sheep. Jean and her husband also ran a sheep property, and Joe, her husband, when he found orphan lambs, would take them home and give them to Jean, and she would care for them. She would feed them. She would carry them. She would keep them warm. She gave each of them a name. And when she wanted to lead them from place to place, she would simply call their name and lead and walk, and these sheep would fall in line. When there was time to shear the sheep, Joe could not get these little lambs to move, but Jean could by simply calling their names. And they would line up and walk to the shearing shed with their tails wagging. Because Jesus is a shepherd like that, he cannot but help look at people with shepherd's eyes. And he looks at people and says, if they do not know me, if they do not follow me, then they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are harassed and they are helpless. They're like a dog that we used to have in my house who we call Banjo, who was part dingo, part few other things, really. In our last house, our dining room had double sliding doors out into the backyard, big glass doors. And when we would eat, Banjo would sit at the doors and look with sorrowful eyes, hoping that he would get a morsel or two, which he never did. But he did it for 14 years or so, but we never gave him anything. When our children, when they were much younger, and they saw Banjo, then life would just well up within, and they'd go, Banjo! And they'd run through the family room, out through the laundry, slam the screen door up against the brick wall, which always meant horror for the dog. And they would squeal with delight, Banjo, Banjo, Banjo! Banjo would look in their direction. He would then look back at us, and his demeanor would change. His ears would drop, his shoulders drop, his eyes got as big as plates, and he would say, please, please rescue me from your children. And they would squeal with delight, Banjo! And they would pick up his tail and wag it, because it wasn't wagging, and a dog's tail always had to wag. And then with fingers, they would explore every orifice in the dog. And he would simply say, please, please rescue us from these, your children. And I would look at him and say, mate, you're a dog. It's your calling. You need to look after my children. Jesus looked at people and he would say, they're like that dog Banjo, harassed and helpless. Like a girl who would now be a young woman. She'd be now in her mid-20s. But I heard of her from someone when I was much younger and when she was in kindergarten. By the time she was in kindergarten, this was her history. Her mum and dad had split up, and so mum had got together with boyfriend number one. She didn't like him after a while, and so mum and boyfriend number two were living together. And then they didn't like each other, so mum left And this girl was living with boyfriend two and girlfriend number one, and she was in kindergarten. I wonder how she is now, as a young woman in her 20s, harassed and helpless in a world like ours. Well, then there are the managers who sit at their desks. They've made it. They've got their own office. They've got a company door with their name on it. They have a company car in the car park. They have all the trappings of success. But then they think of home and realize things are not going so well. You know, they speak great words to their colleagues and their friends, but at home, words seem to cut like a knife and young lives fall like tenpins. Jesus would look at people who do not know him and say, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are harassed and they are helpless. And because they are like that, they are therefore lost, not connected with the one who loves them most. And then Jesus then goes looking for them. He does two things as a shepherd. The first thing is he goes looking for the lost. And then secondly, he cares for them when he finds them. I get a great picture of this from a part of the Old Testament where God says that he himself will search for his sheep and he will look after them. He will go searching for them. A number of years ago when we moved into our last residence, we went to explore the neighbourhood and the shopping centres, and we went to one of the local shopping centres and drove past the police station. And I thought, that looks like a fortress. If the police have to work behind those sort of walls, what's this community like? Didn't look real friendly to me. So we parked in the shopping centre car park and got out and explored the shopping centre. I took our youngest child at the time, an infant, and wandered through the shopping centre after Rob and I decided to go explore different sections. And she took our daughter, so I thought. And we got back and we got together at the arranged time and the arranged place. And I said, so where's Emma? She's with you. I said, nah, she's with you. At that moment, the police station came to my mind, the fortress, and our faces went white. Our hearts beat like crazy. I gave our son to my wife and I started to run through the shopping centre, calling out my daughter's name. And I'm thinking, I may never see her again. So I'm running, calling out her name, looking down all the arms that go off the main corridor in the shopping centre, looking in the shops where she may have gone. And we got back together again, my wife and I, no Emma. And so our hearts skipped more of a beat, our faces got more pasty, and I ran again. This time I stumbled across an arm that went off the main corridor I hadn't seen before, and down the end of it was this carousel with four horses. And there was our daughter sitting on a horsey. She didn't think that she was lost. She was on a horsey ride. She was at a carnival. Everything was sweet for her. But I was a dad and I knew better. She was lost, for she was separated from those who loved her most. And we had to go looking for her. Jesus says, I'm a shepherd. I can't help but look at people with shepherd's eyes. And if they're not connected to me, they're not connected with the one who loves them most, they are lost. And I want to go find them, even though they think they're on a horsey ride. They're lost and they're in danger. So he goes looking for those who have wandered away, but he doesn't just look for those who are in the horsey rides in the shopping malls of life. The Bible says that he goes looking for those in dark, clouded days. You remember about a week ago here, we had the most freakish weather from about 7 o'clock in the morning to way after dusk. There was dark clouds and rumbles and lightning. Did you remember that sort of a day? It was really freaky. It didn't sort of seem right. Jesus, as the shepherd, goes looking for lost sheep, even into the dark places, even into the clouded places. A couple of weeks ago, we had a preacher in one of our evening services speak to us about joy. And he said, you know, there was a time when I was clinically depressed. It cost him his job, if memory serves me correctly, at a place that he was working, because he couldn't continue to work. And he said, after a while, suicide looked very attractive. But he now says, I am so grateful that Jesus the shepherd went looking for me in the deep, dark clouds and drew me back. Jesus will search even into the darkest of places where despair can be so profound, we'd rather die than live. And then when he finds sheep, Jesus doesn't scold us as we want to do when we find our children. You know, when your children go wandering away, you're sort of caught in attention. You want to pick them up and cuddle them and hold them because they are precious to you. But at the same time, you want to scold them because they've wandered away and they should not have done that. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus says when he finds his sheep, he brings them back and he wants to bind up the broken. He wants to tenderly care for those who are injured and strengthen the weak. In fact, in the New Testament, there's a part where Jesus says, as he's looking with shepherd's eyes on people, he sees them as lost and harassed. We're told that he will not break a bruised reed, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. So Jesus is not like the gang of teenage boys who travel through our estate on their bikes. You know, agapanthus only flower once a year. Have you noticed that? In our estate, there's a whole lot of agapanthus that have no heads. They flower, and these boys, just being teenage boys, go through and flick them all off. Jesus is not like that. When he sees a bruised reed, he doesn't cut the head off. Rather, he wants to restore it. And when he sees someone who's like a birthday candle that's been blown out, or a candle when you've had a party. You know when you blow it out and there's a little ember at the top of the wick and the smoke goes away? In our house, it's a competition to see and get to them first and go, tss, tss, tss. Jesus is not like that. When he sees that ember, he wants to fan it into flame, because he is a shepherd and he knows that people want to live. And when he finds them and cares for them by binding up their wounds and strengthening them, he wants to care for them by giving them good food. As a shepherd, he says he'll make them lie down in good pasture and feed them so that they feed on rich pasture. He wants to satisfy the thirst and the hunger within souls. Another part of the Bible says that God speaks to us and says, listen to me, eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, says Jesus. Hear me, that your soul may live. That your soul may live. Jesus wants to so nourish his people that they will live deep in the pit of their soul. You see, so whoever knows in their heart that there is more to life than what they're getting in the 21st century, whoever has had what all that the world offers and comes up empty over and over again, whoever knows that it's not another job, another car, another holiday, house, relationship or experience, whoever knows that they are thirsty, Jesus offers soul satisfaction. He was born to breathe life into souls. And those who follow Jesus, who know their shepherd, would say the words that King David wrote, words that we only often hear at funerals, but these words are meant for those who live, where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus will lead his people by still waters and lie down in green pastures so that their souls live. As shepherd ruler, his desire to care for us is so great that he will pay for the privilege. He will pay with his life. When this baby who we celebrate today reached adulthood, he said to people, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Do you remember the Port Arthur massacre? I remember I was in church. It was a Sunday morning, the 21st of November, 1999. We went into church where we were and everything was fine. We came out to find our nation in shock. Martin Bryant went on a bloody rampage, shooting anybody that he could. and as he entered the Broad Arrow Cafe, a young father dived in front of his wife to shield her and their baby from possible harm. His love for his wife and his child cost him his life because he took a bullet aimed at her. But they get to live. Jesus is born the Good Shepherd, and he will lay down his life for us. He will give all that he has, every last drop of blood, every last ounce of life, so that the sheep will live. Who would not want to bow the knee to this ruler and swear allegiance to this shepherd? Those who do, they enjoy life with him forever. They have soul satisfaction, and they will enjoy security and peace forever. But those who reject his call have a fearful end. They will remain separated from the shepherd ruler forever. You know, if I had not gone looking for my daughter 10 years ago, and I sort of walked away, I think that there would come a time when she would have realized that she was way lost. As people started to leave the mall, and as the lights went down, and as the doors shut, and there was only the echoing sounds of the footsteps of the patrol people, that would have been a horrible thought. For those who will not answer the call, they will stay lost. But it's more than the realization of lost. I think Jesus would say, you know, I searched for you. I called for you. I spent everything I had in the search to find you. I did all I could and offered you all I had, but you refused to come. And so you must face the music. When I was in primary school, my mum said to me one day, you know, you come straight home from school because I've got an appointment for you with the dentist. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Like, as if that's going to get me to come home straight away. But legalist that I was, I went straight home, but I dawdled. I went straight home, but just went real slow. I walked home with a friend, and we took a long time to get home. And I could see mum's car coming up the street. So I ducked down behind a parked car and said to my mate, don't you tell her I'm here. So mum pulled up next to my mate and said, you seen John? And he went, no. Have you seen him at all? No. And so she then went back the way that I would normally come home, and I just kept going home. She did laps, checking all the other routes that I normally took to come home to try and find me, but I just kept going home. By the time she got home, I'd had afternoon tea and was feeling quite pleased with myself. I cannot remember what happened next. But I understand that pain has a habit of robbing us of certain memories. Mum had searched and searched for me so that I would be cared for. I refused to be found, and so I had to face the music. Jesus does not want us to face the music. That's why he comes as a shepherd, and with shepherd eyes goes looking for the lost to find them and to care for them. He is God in search of men. He's God in search of women and boys and girls so that he could share life with them. But if they will not be found, they will have to face the music. Now, friends, God went to great lengths to ensure Jesus' birth took place. When Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, Joseph wanted to divorce her, but God stepped in. He sent an angel and said, don't do that, Joseph. Don't do that. This child will save people from their sins. You marry this woman. And then the Magi came, the wise men. They came looking for Jesus. They went to King Herod and said, where's the child? Herod said, I don't know, but let's find out. And then they found out where the child was being held. And so the wise men go off and Herod said, hey, by the way, when you find him, bring him, let me know so I can go and worship. But the Bible tells us Herod wanted to kill the child. And so the Magi go worship this child. And then God steps in and says, don't go back and tell Herod. You go home another way. And then God sent an angel to Joseph and said, Herod wants to kill this child. You go to Egypt. A little while later, God sent another angel to Joseph in a dream and said to him, Herod's dead. Go back to your country. And as he was going back, God sent another angel and said, Joseph, go to Nazareth and live there. God went to extraordinary lengths to make sure Jesus got here and that he reached adulthood. He wanted to be sure that his gift of a shepherd ruler would be presented to us. And he is keen for you and I to receive this gift. So you are not here by accident, friend. You may have come for all sorts of reasons. Catch up with family. Someone invited you to come. You just wandered in. You've come for all sorts of reasons. But you're not here by accident. You see, the God who orchestrated everything to make sure Jesus, the ruler shepherd, would be born, is the same God who made sure you did not miss his appointment for you this morning. He wanted you to be here so he could get your attention. He wants to say to you, you matter to me. You matter to me beyond belief. I know everything about you. I saw your birth. I know when you will die. And I know everything in between. I made you and I love you so much that I sent my son to search you out and to care for you. If you would allow him to be your ruler and shepherd, then you will get to live a life that is otherwise not possible. You will get to enjoy the care and the nourishment of the shepherd ruler. And the only way to make a gift yours is to take it. You know that under all the trees in the Hills District, no doubt there's still one or two presents that have not been opened. They will have names on them for people. If you're visiting someone or someone's coming to you, there will be a gift possibly with your name on it. And the way to make it your own is to receive it, to open it, and to explore it and enjoy it. God says, I have a gift for you. It's got your name on it. I'd like you to take it and open it and enjoy it, that you might enjoy the shepherd ruler. Some of you be at the point where you want to receive the gift, to open it and enjoy it. And if that's you, then why don't you just say, God, I'd just like to be shepherded. I'd love a ruler that I could turn to for wisdom and for strength. You may be at a point where you're saying, look, I've drifted away from God. I don't think God wants me back. Listen to what he says. I sent my son who would come with shepherd eyes to look for those who have wandered away. And when he finds you, he just wants to care for you, bind up your wounds, strengthen you, and then feed your soul. He says, come, come back. And you could just say, God, I'm sorry, I just want to come back. If you do those sorts of things, why don't you take the green triangle, the fan, and take it to our Yes tent out here. We'd love to give you some information about our church and some help to help you take the next couple of steps. Because this could be a great Christmas for you. For those of us who already follow Christ, let me encourage you to continue to enjoy the gift of God. Continue to subject yourself to his rule and rest secure in the knowledge that he is the shepherd ruler of all heaven and earth. Now friends, as you reflect on that, I'm going to invite our singers to come back up and they're just going to present something to us. Am I right with that? I am indeed. Come on up, God.